Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be.
Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares tips and life lessons to make you rich in life.
Rich. Every time.
Mm-hmm. And in today's episode, we're sharing some gentle reminders for priceless life lessons.
Wholesome vibe today. We did an episode that was like advice that's more important than money recently, and you chicks loved it. So we thought we'd do another like rendition.
Yeah, exactly. This. A slight remix.
But we always start with our product recommendation of the week. And this week we have a very special product recommendation and also an inside scoop for you chicks.
Yeah.
But for ages, Sal and I have always said, like, why is there no cute best friend jewelry? Like, why is it always like a heart like cut in half and it's not like, you know, super like wearable every day? And we're just like, where's the cute best friend jewelry? Well, we found it because we made it.
Yeah.
So we have launched a collab collection with Bixby & Co. Jewelry, and it is called the Twin Flame Collection. Oh, I just love the name.
I mean, chef's kiss.
Yeah. So this collection is designed to be worn with your bestie, but you could also wear them solo. So you can mix and match whatever you like. And they're just chef's kiss, if we do say so in our opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like this collection has just been like a long time coming. We'll give you a bit of history, but it includes five pieces, including the chunky gold Cher hoops, the Isolde hoops, the Lillian necklace, the Lillian bracelet, and the cherry ring. The collection is 18K gold filled with recycled red glass stones, so are really beautiful to mix and match together or with any of your existing pieces that you may own. So the prices range from $105 to $120 for the individual pieces, but you can also buy the stacks, which save you a little bit of money from $35 to $70, depending on the stack that you buy. So if you want to buy more than one piece, which you and your bestie can get one together and be matching, then definitely do that so you save a little bit of pretty penny.
Yeah, exactly. And like we said, so many of the pieces are so beautiful to mix and match together. So it's such a good way to, you don't have to choose just one.
Yeah, and all the red matches. So like if you're a necklace girly but your bestie is a ring girly, she can get the ring and you can get the necklace. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a bracelet girly and your bestie is an earring girly, she can get the earrings and you can have the bracelet. Like it all ties in together, which is perfect because I feel like people are so particular with like the jewelry that they wear.
Yeah, exactly. And want to make it work with the existing pieces that they have as well. And then that way it's like a little wink to your friendship together. And it's sort of like matchy-matchy but not too on the nose if you don't want to wear, you know, the exact same necklace or, if you guys do have different tastes. I mean, Alex and I wear the entire
collection
at all times.
Yeah, because it all just looks so good together as well if we do say so ourselves. Mm-hmm. But it's just really cute because we ended up like kind of mixing with Bixby just from a video that I made on TikTok a couple months ago from the series Small Brands That Should Be Viral. And they were the first brand. They were the first video we ever made in Small Brands That Should Be Viral. And since then, we were always kind of like messaging on Instagram and they would, you know, gift us things, which was so nice. And we'd give them as much coverage and promotion as possible and never worked in like a, you know, paid capacity. But yeah, so it's just is like the perfect little thing and passion project that we've just been so excited to work on with them.
Yeah, and they're a mother-daughter duo who are based in Sydney as well. So it has been so incredible working with another small business that's also Australian-based as well. Mm. And yeah, it's just been such an amazing experience. So it's definitely been a labor of lots of love.
Yeah. So the collection officially launches at 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time today on the 30th of April. So definitely get your hands on it. Mm-hmm. I hope it sells out. I've bought like three pieces of everything. And also the names are like really special because like the Lillian necklace and bracelet is named after my nonna.
Mm-hmm. And then the Isolde pieces are a little nod to my baby niece, Maeve Isolde. So it's very personal to us. And then, of course, we have
the Cher.
The Cher.
Which, we were like
so personal. And they're more like the hoops.
But I feel like Cher has been such a constant inspiration for both Alex and I. And if you've listened to the podcast for more than one episode, you've probably heard us reference Cher many, many times. So, yeah, it's definitely very personal to us. But it's also made for you chicks and is inspired by you chicks and all of the pieces that we know that you'll love as well.
So go get shopping, baby. Woohoo! I'm so excited. I hope you all love it.
Yes.
All right, let's get into our gentle reminders. Sal, do you want to kick us off?
Off.
Okay, so my first gentle reminder is from Maya Angelou, who is a poet and literary legend who sadly passed away a few years ago, but legacy has been felt for many, many decades and still lives on. So Maya obviously is a very celebrated literary icon, right? But she spoke about how she still experiences self-doubt even up until like the very late stages of her career, and that each time she publishes a book, she experiences imposter syndrome. And she said, "Each time I write a book, every time I face that yellow pad, the challenge is so great. I have written 11 books, but each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody and they're going to find me out." Which I just think is so relatable, that someone who is a literal legend, an icon, even up until the very late stages of their career, felt that same feeling that so many of us experience. And I think so many of us look up to our icons and think, oh, but they've got it all sorted. Or you'll see somebody who you went to school with celebrating their wins on Instagram and you're like, oh, like, why can't I be like that? Look at all of these other people that have all of these amazing things going on. And they do have amazing things going on, but everybody experiences that same level of imposter syndrome. And I don't think it necessarily ever goes away, but there are ways that you can deal with it in a more healthy way and I guess embrace it.
Yeah, I think everyone, we forget that everyone is literally faking it till they make it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, it's wild because, you know, you would say Maya Angelou and everyone would be like, oh, yes, like amazing, amazing, brave, brave, brave.
Blah. Yeah.
But they are just a human, not in a way that minimizes them, but also like celebrates them.
Yeah.
As exactly. Like, you are so capable of everything that, of the people that you look up to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the people that you look up to are just human, like you as well. So, what's holding like you back from being just as amazing as the people that you look up to?
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that if you do find yourself battling with imposter syndrome quite a bit and you haven't gotten to the point where you know how to embrace it or overcome it, I've got three tips on how to overcome imposter syndrome. Number one, address the facts. I think a lot of the time we're talking to ourselves in our heads and we're making up a narrative on something that might have happened, could happen, or we're thinking about other people's projections, like what would they think or what are people's opinions going to be of me. But the thing is that all of these things are made up and hypothetical and none of them have actually happened.
Like, is it real?
Exactly. Mm. So instead, focus on the facts and things that have happened. Like, what are the amazing things that people actually have said to you about the thing that you're working on? Or, you know, what are the amazing achievements that you have done? What are the incredible qualities that you know that you do have? And focus on all of those things because they're real. And the other things that you're worrying about are not. You make them up in your brain. Mm. We all do it. Number two, acknowledge what you're feeling and tell someone about it. I feel like so often we have these conversations with ourselves in our heads and we're a bit embarrassed to admit it to somebody. But when you speak about it to someone, whether it's a loved one or a friend or a professional, a lot of the time they can give you that perspective to show you that, like, what you're stressed about isn't actually real, and that it can just help you sort of, I guess, acknowledge some of those feelings and talk through some of those feelings. Whereas if you are only talking about it to yourself in your head, the conversation can't really end or progress. It's one-sided.
It's a one-sided conversation and you're like on the negative side of the conversation.
Because we're all our worst critics, but when you speak to somebody else, they're going to give you some perspective that trust me, is going to be less harsh and probably more realistic as well. And then number three, embrace that you do have strengths and weaknesses. You're not going to be good at everything. Not every single project that you're going to do is going to be your best work yet. And that's so fine.
That's it. Love. Do you feel like you still get like imposter syndrome?
Yes. Like we've done over 200 episodes of the podcast and still every time I step into the studio, there's something in the back of my head that's like, what am I doing? What am I saying? You know, I have like a little bit of, like I experience that anxiety even in something that is as fun and now as routine as doing the podcast.
Mm.
But I just remind myself, like, I've done over 200 podcasts. I know what I'm doing. It's okay. Calm down.
Mm. I feel like as well whenever I'm feeling like that and there is that little voice in my head that's maybe saying like, oh, like you can't do this or like you're not very good at this or whatever, I also remind myself no one else can hear that little voice.
Mm.
So I'm like, no one else knows.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't know. They don't know I'm shitting myself.
Literally.
Like there'll be like some interviews that I'll be like really nervous for.
Mm.
And I'll like be like, that's okay. No one knows I feel like this.
Yeah.
And like obviously that's not the same thing as like not talking to someone, but I'm like kind of on that same line of like faking till you make it, being like, it's all right. That little voice can talk. That little voice can say as much as it wants, but no one else knows. So that's fine. We'll just fake it till we make it. And sometimes that's all you can do. Like you just get to the end of it and then you can figure out the rest.
Yeah.
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 Okay. My first gentle reminder is from an iconic monologue from one of our favorite shows, Sex and the City, and I've got a little video to play.
Don't laugh at me, but maybe we could be each other's soulmates. And then we could let men be just these great, nice guys to have fun with.
Well, that sounds like a plan.
Oh, I love that.
Literally one of the best reminders of the value of friendships, mm-hmm. I think, has ever been in a pop culture, like, reference.
Yeah.
Ever. Because I think for so long we sit, like, romantic relationships up on a pedestal of, like, that's the ultimate relationship, that's the goal, and our friends are, like, this thing that's maybe a bit of a side character,
mm-hmm.
whereas, like, your partner or your relationship is a main character. And even though I absolutely adore my partner, you know, being single for 3 years before that was one of the best times of my life, without a doubt. That I remember even just moving in with my partner, I cried because I realized that like period of my life of living with friends and girlhood was done.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean to say that my friendships are done or anything like that, but they're just so special. And I think like celebrating those friendships and not letting anyone let you think that those friendships aren't as important as a romantic partner is just so important.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think as a society, like so many people put a lot of pressure or whatever on having a romantic partner, and that if you don't have a romantic partner, you're not successful or fulfilled. And I think that knowing that you can find your soulmates in your friends as well as a romantic partner, if that happens for you, will help you feel more fulfilled despite what anybody else thinks, because you know you've got those people that you can rely on.
Some of the biggest moments of like feeling love in my life and loving people in my life have been with my friends.
Mm.
I would say majority of moments,
yeah,
like in my life that I've really, really felt like love and given love in my life has been with like the friends that I have. Don't cry.
That's okay. Don't look at me like that.
But it's just like I think about, you know, how we will always talk about like our America trip when we danced on like the Coyote Ugly Bar, or like went to Disneyland together and like watched the fireworks and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, those are so special.
Yeah.
Those are so important that like, yes, there will be important, you know, moments in a relationship, and that isn't to take away, but like they're not like mutually exclusive things. Like they're the same thing. Soulmates are the same thing across all relationships. Like your mum could be your soulmate, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love that scene. Cause I remember I watched Sex and the City when I was like going through breakups. I was like, friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's such a powerful reminder. I love it.
Yeah. If anyone hasn't watched Sex and the City in their 20s or any age, please watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely a few things that haven't aged well, yeah, but 100%. There's so many quotes like that that have.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's the best.
And I think as well, Charlotte is the character that really wants a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes from her, I think it just is so much more powerful.
Exactly.
Like she's the one being like, where is he? I've been dating since I was 15 years old. I'm tired. I want to get married. I want to have babies. But and then for her to be like, wait, I do have soulmates. I do have my partners. I've got my friends. Like mm-hmm. I just think that was just the most powerful thing. Beautiful. Love it. Love you. Love everyone. Kisses for all.
Including you chicks. Okay, my second gentle reminder is from Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar. So this is a classic book that I'm sure a lot of people have read, but I read it in, I think, my late teens or early 20s, and it's really stuck with me ever since then, like I'm sure it has with a lot of people. But a quote from it that I always remembered that also has recently made the rounds on TikTok in the last few weeks and months is the fig tree theory. Mm. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
So in the book, the fig tree analogy encapsulates the experience of womanhood.
I have seen this.
Yeah, of wanting to capture it all. And as told through the protagonist of The Bell Jar, Esther Greenwood, she says, "I saw my life branching out before me like the green fig tree in the story. From the tip of every branch, like a fat purple fig, a wonderful future beckoned and winked." Then to paraphrase, because it's quite a long quote, one fig was a husband and a family and a home with children. Another was her being a famous poet and writer and then a brilliant professor. And another was her being an Olympian. Like there were so many different figs that she wanted to pick at for her life. And the quote continues, "I saw myself sitting in the crotch of this fig tree, starving to death, just because I couldn't make up my mind which of the figs I would choose. I wanted each and every one of them, but choosing one meant losing all the rest. And as I sat there, unable to decide, the figs began to wrinkle and go black. And one by one, they plopped to the ground at my feet."
Wow, that's so powerful.
Yeah. So I think that this is probably a pretty human experience, but I think it's something that especially as young women we experience very fiercely, and it's that feeling of feeling like you have to be
everything.
And I think that can be exciting on one hand, like thinking of the possibilities of where you can take your life can
be
exciting.
It's also very glorified being like, oh, the wearer of many hats.
Exactly. Yeah. But then there's also, you know, I think maybe the more realistic version perhaps is that it's really overwhelming and it can be really scary. And as a quintessential Pisces and somebody who really hates making decisions, I just relate to this quote so much because there have been instances in my life where I've been too paralyzed by all of the choices that I haven't made a decision and then I don't get any of the opportunities because I didn't just make a choice. So I think this quote is a gentle reminder that you don't have to be everything, but also don't paralyze yourself by giving yourself too many choices of what you want or maybe what you should be, what society expects of you, and pursue the passions that feel the most inspiring to you. Because remember, if it doesn't work out, you can always pick at another fig that's on the tree. Like other ones will grow as time goes on, but if you just sit there sort of umming and ahhing about what to do and don't make a choice, you're not going to be able to take advantage of any of these opportunities. And I think it's a good reminder not to let the amazing things that you do have already in your life slip away because you're too busy focusing on what you could be or what you should be doing.
Yeah, we just overthink everything way too much.
Yeah.
Like way too much. And I was thinking about this the other day because I was in the week of my cycle that I was happy. And I was like,
a fleeting but wonderful moment.
The 7 days of your cycle that you're like, everything's amazing.
Yeah.
But I really was just having these like epiphanies of just like, oh my God, every day you get to make the decision to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Every day you can literally make the decision to just have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And that even the things that would make you feel sad or would make you have a bad day. And we say this all the time to put things in perspective, but like in 5 years, like, will you care?
Mm.
Because like, I know that, you know, maybe we've had like a hate comment or something and it's been like one out of like 50 or 100 comments and that's ruined my whole day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, if I sat down right now, I probably can't tell you what it said.
Yeah.
You know, like it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So like, really weighing up the things that are overwhelming you and being like, this doesn't matter. I have the opportunity and the power to be like, no, I'm still going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to pursue whatever fig I want to pursue. And sometimes that's making a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like deciding to go for a walk in the sun.
Yeah.
A little swim.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be such a grand thing. Yeah. Those are good. Those yeah. are the tastiest ones.
Is that like the trend that's on TikTok at the moment where people are swiping across yeah. and it's a photo of a fig tree and
all of the different things.
All the different yeah. little things that make them like happy.
Mm.
Yeah. yeah. I feel yeah. like that's a nice little practice. Like everyone should go and make that. Not to like go viral on TikTok, but just as like a fun little thing of being like, what's my fig tree?
Exactly. I feel like it's a really cool thing to see it make the rounds on TikTok because I think it makes that process a little bit more positive, thinking mm. about that analogy of the fig tree. It's like, yeah, the little things that make you rather than like the scary things of what you yeah. could be.
Or like make your life what it is. What yeah. would be on your fig tree?
Ooh.
You can pick five.
Okay, I'll pick five. I would have, these are all things that I am and want to be. I would say a good sister.
Mm.
A loving friend, a nice partner, a writer. What's the last one going to be?
Karaoke singer.
And a fucking good karaoke singer. That's it. That's the one. What would be on yours?
Love that. I think all like very similar things. I think the way I look at it is like what fulfills like my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's like feeling at home,
mm-hmm.
but that's wherever I am.
Yeah.
Feeling loved
mm-hmm.
by like friends, family, and my partner, my cat, because mm-hmm. I love her.
Very important.
She loves me. And she didn't, but now she does, which is like one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my mm-hmm. life. I think just like the realization of, you know, being a small little speck in the universe,
mm.
which is one of my favorite things. And then maybe like nature and just like the sun and the ocean. And just I've just noticed the biggest difference in like my world and my life since, you know, making an effort to bring that into my world a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Touch some grass, everyone. Good go reminder touch to some us grass. All.
Okay. My next gentle reminder.
Reminder.
Okay, this is a quote for like the people pleasers.
And I'm listening.
It was posted on Reddit and it basically says, why do you make people more comfortable when you are uncomfortable?
Why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
Like, why do we make the effort to make people more comfortable when we are uncomfortable? And I think it's such a people-pleasing trait and it's such a normal thing to do that, one, don't start beating yourself up for that. But yeah. I think it is a really good question to have in your back pocket for those moments. And it doesn't mean to just immediately switch, like flip the switch and become confrontational.
Mm.
But I think it is a good reminder to speak your feelings and speak your thoughts whenever that is. Like if something is making you uncomfortable, say it in a respectful manner that you're like, I don't like this. I don't want this. I'd like this to change.
Mm.
And it's just, you don't have to please everyone. And I know that's also hypocritical coming from me because there are moments in my life that I am the biggest people pleaser in the world.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the thing. Like, it's a compromise, right? Like, sometimes you should put other people first and sometimes you should put other people's feelings and making them comfortable first. But I think it's so important to ask, do they deserve it? Because a lot of the time we like won't say something to make somebody more comfortable or diffuse a situation or put ourselves in an uncomfortable situation because it's, you know, a bit awkward to have confrontation or whatever it is, but like, do they really deserve it, or do they deserve to be told, you know, that what they're saying is inappropriate or whatever it may be?
Mm.
It's like, if you don't respect someone, why are you trying to make them feel more comfortable?
Mm. Should all. And then I had one last one as a quick little thing, which was also another video. So this is a quote from Helena Bonham Carter, and it came up on my TikTok, and I've just had it saved on my phone. I just watch it whenever I like need to get out of a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the best. I'm just going to play it and then we can like talk about it. Ready?
At the end of the day, you know, when you're dying, you're not going to go like, oh, thank God I was thin. You're going to go like, oh, I loved eating those, you know, whatever you loved eating, you know, fresh bread with butter. There's a thing that's it's about being alive and sensuality and experiencing things.
I love that so much.
I know. And I think it's like it's more than the example she gave as well. Mm. Like, I think we just overthink so much.
Yeah.
And it's what I listen to whenever I'm overthinking or thinking about what I should do or whether or not, like, because everything's fucking bad for you these days. Everything's like, don't do this, don't, you're high cortisol, or don't do this, it's high in calories or whatever. But I'm like, if something makes you happy, just fucking do it, like, within reason, obviously, and of course, like, your health is very important, but like, stop minimizing yourself by rules that aren't rules. Like, you're an adult. You can make your own decisions. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. If you want to go out with your best friend on a Tuesday night and drink 2 bottles of wine, do it. Do it. Like, who cares? Because those are the nights that I think about and smile like the most. When I was doing Taco Tuesday and we're doing lip syncs for your life and my roommate ripped her toenail off.
Oh, fuck. Painful.
Like, and like, that just makes me smile so much. And I'm not saying that that's something you do every night or whatever that is, but we're so kind of, I just feel like we have a lot of caution.
Yeah,
like,
we limit ourselves tension, a lot.
We're like filled with this tension of like caution and overthinking in life. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. Mm. Like, just go and think about, you know, when you are, you know, at the end of your days or whatever that is, a bit morbid, sorry, what are you going to look back on and be really happy that you did?
Yeah. Like, and what are you going to remember about yourself? You're going to remember how you felt, not how you looked or what other people thought of you or whatever that is. I can think of so many experiences that I've missed out on because I was like, oh, like, I don't want to go to the beach. I don't want to wear a bikini because, you know, blah, blah.
Mm.
Like, something as shallow as that, whereas like when I think about all the amazing times we've had at the beach together playing mermaids, it's like I wasn't thinking about how I looked, and either was anybody else. So yeah, I love that quote.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Love her.
All right, moving on to advice with the chicks. This chick says, I miss my ex-best friend. I don't know what to do. We're still friends now, but we used to be inseparable, and now it's like we are barely friends besides the odd coffee or group outing. Last year, my boyfriend had told our mutual friend he didn't like her because I always seem to be sacrificing my own happiness for her, and that is what really broke our friendship up. Since then, it's been quite awkward as that is a silent elephant in the room, especially since I can't really have her and my boyfriend at the same events. I don't know what I can do to get us back to what we used to be without forcing it, but I feel like I never had a friendship that replaced that. Her and one of our friends from school are now super close, and I know it's petty, but I find it really upsetting because it just reminds me that we aren't like that anymore.
That breaks my heart.
That's really sad.
I'm sorry. He had no right to say that. Mm. Like, if you don't feel that way, which it kind of sounds like you don't feel that way. It doesn't feel like you sound like you were sacrificing your happiness for your friend. Like, I just feel like that was not necessary to be said or spoken about because obviously your ex-best friend was quite hurt by that. And like, she's probably taken a step back from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just feel like that's really weird for him to like insert himself in that, speak on your behalf to your or about your best friend. Like, if one of our partners
said that,
we'd be really upset with really them. Hurt. Being like, why are you inserting yourself into our friendship and our relationship that doesn't involve you? Sure, maybe he had the best of intentions.
Yeah.
But like, it just seems a bit like manipulative.
Especially if you don't feel that way. It's different if you yes. do feel that way, but even so, like, then he should be encouraging you to have a conversation with your friend about it, not bitching about your ex-best friend with a mutual friend to cause drama. I think that if you want to get back to where you were with this friend, you need to speak about this with them openly.
Yeah, and you need to kick the silent elephant in the room up the bum.
Yeah, and just take them out for coffee or invite them over into like a space where you guys have room to have the conversation and say, look, I'm really sorry that they said that, but that's not how I feel. What can I do to help us get back to that place where we were? I really miss our friendship and I really value it. And then I would also speak to my boyfriend and be like, hey, you owe my friend an apology because that's not how I feel. I really miss my friendship with them and it would mean a lot to me if you would apologize and maybe explain that you were just looking out for me. You had the best intentions, but you probably went about it the wrong way. And then see if you can try and mend it from there.
If like that's not how you feel, they can hang out. Like they can stomach that. They don't have to be best friends, but like they should be able to be at the same event and things together.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, and that's such a sticky and yucky situation to be in as well. Like having your best friend and your boyfriend not like each other. Actually been there. Wait. I was like, I can't even imagine that. I was like, wait, yes I can. Been there. And you know what? Sal just stomached it. Sal was always polite. Sal was like, I'll just put up with it because you wanted to make me happy. You were never fake. You were never like.
No, I was like, well, we'll just keep it civil then.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like even in the situation where, you know, two people don't get along, they need to acknowledge that you're the mutual important person in both of their lives and, you know, move on. But I kind of also get if your ex-best friend doesn't want to move on, like doesn't want that because, you know.
Well, she's not going to be able to without having a conversation with you and without getting an apology from your boyfriend probably.
I think the best like foot forward is really like leading with vulnerability and empathy.
Yeah.
Go to her and be really vulnerable. Tell her everything you just told us, being like, I really miss you, seeing you, like build friendships like what we used to have has made me really sad and made me really understand that I really want you in my life and like lead with that. Tell her exactly how you feel because that's what she needs to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
She's not going to be like, oh, it's all good, babe.
She's like, no, babe, don't worry. That's okay. Because I
until you have that vulnerable conversation.
If you keep things surface level, everything will remain surface level. Like it's up to you to deep dive into those feelings.
Absolutely. Good luck, chick.
Good luck, baby girl, and go have a conversation with your boyfriend. Keep his mouth shut. Keep it moving. Shut your mouth, you know, bitch.
Send him a two bro chicks. Yeah. We'll deal with him.
Bring him on a show. What if we did, like, what was that show? Was it Jeopardy? No. What was the show? And it was like,
Jerry Springer?
Yeah.
Jerry.
That's Jerry Springer, your boyfriend. I'm sure he's got good points. Sorry.
Anyway, good luck.
Bye. Thank you, chicks, for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here. And thank you to MIK Made for making this episode of Two Broke Chicks happen. We'll catch you, chicks, on Thursday.
Catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side.